Speaking of big money, Andy Behrens is all about big money because that's what he rolls in big money. That's why we call him Big Money Behrens, actually. That's really his real name. It's Big Money Behrens. But we call him Andy here, so make sure you follow him on Twitter at Andy Behrens. Why he hasn't changed his name or his handle to Big Money Behrens, I have no idea. But anyway... Andy, are we at the point now that maybe we start to look around and say, maybe I can sucker somebody for Brady and get out of the gravy train? Because I'm not looking at the same Brady right now, dude. And if one of his receivers, who's had a lot of substance abuse issues, is maybe falling off the wagon in other ways now physically, that's not good either. And so I'm just wondering, how are you looking at this Brady situation? Because my man, his ball placement last night was very Ryan Tannehill-like.
First of all, I want to thank you for rebranding me as Big Money Behrens. I think that could stick. I think I could make that work. I could go with the Vegas vibe.
Well, because that's what you are. Like that. That's what you are. That's why you can make it work. Come on, baby. We all know.
Total mid-career transformation. I can see it. I like it. The Brady situation is, you know, the first thing that we have to remember about Tom Brady is that literally no one in the history of the NFL has played quarterback well at the age of 42. Almost no one has even attempted it. You know, Warren Moon being an exception. There's a handful of exceptions. No one's done it well. If he has a great season, it is an absolute total one-off outlier in NFL history. So that's kind of where we're starting from. You are entirely right that he looked a little statuesque, which, you know, we're not talking about somebody who depended on mobility his entire career, but the ball placement was off. And the biggest thing right now is that, you know, like Julian Edelman, who came into the season with an injury and has been questionable every week, is by far his healthiest receiver, right? Like, so he loses, I mean, technically lost Antonio Brown. He was around for a week and then gone. No telling how long Josh Gordon is going to be out. He hasn't looked like the same guy, you know, prior to the injury. Phil Dorsett is dealing with an injury right now, too. And what the hell? Well, like, we're talking about Phil Dorsett as somebody who can possibly help save this thing. So, yes, I think it's a perfect example of a very strong brand name player. Who can be sold, especially, you know, if folks didn't see any of the highlights of last night's game or only saw the highlights and saw none of the lowlights, yes, I think this is a perfect example of a very strong brand name player that you can sell. The other thing to remember is Brady ends up in a lot of games late in the season when you absolutely can't lose, and it's, you know, 25 degrees in Foxborough, and, like, he puts up 180 yards and one touchdown. This happens every year. So, yes, I think this is a very good example of a sell high.
Yeah, so yeah, exactly. I'm thinking that if you can, go for it right now, because I don't know, maybe finally the bottom is falling out, and it's because of what you said. I mean, 42, at one point or another, you know, father time catches up to all of us, and so that's the one thing that I would be afraid of. I'm not going to say that he's done, but I'm just saying, if you're a fantasy guy and you have, and that's the other key, right, Andy? I mean, you got to be comfortable with the other quarterback. Make sure if you're going to get rid of him, make sure you've got that other guy that you can definitely depend on, correct?
For sure. And this has been, you know, this has been a really weird year at the quarterback position. I feel like we've talked about it. Like, I came into this season thinking this position had never been this deep. And then, like, 2 weeks into the year, all of a sudden I'm scrounging on the waiver wire for, like, Josh Allen and Andy Dalton and a bunch of scrubby quarterbacks because everybody was hurt. So it is a tough year for a quarterback. You obviously have to be in a position where you can flip them. But if you can, you know, if you're in, like, a shallow one-quarterback league and you can just go out there and you know, you're scraping up Phillip Rivers off the waiver wire, you're scraping up a Josh Allen, whoever, Kyler Murray. Yes, I think he's a very strong example of a player that I would want to trade. And it's not like I hate to sound disrespectful to Tom Brady. He's one of the great players in NFL history. But again, nobody's ever been good at his position at this age.
Yeah, no, it's that's the thing that we have to go by, because at the moment, my man is doing things that have never been done before, and if he does pull it off, it would be an amazing feat. And last night he didn't look like he was ready to pull it off. In fact, he hasn't looked like that in several weeks. As dominant as the team has been, it's all been about the defense and the running game pretty much for them. Maybe that's why the owner was like, well, you know, Gronk hasn't turned in his retirement papers. Brady needs as much help as possible. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, he really does, though. Like, that receiving core, like, ever since Randy Moss left, basically, has never been, like, it's been kind of a miracle of just how good Brady is, right, that they've been so good and they've been so dominant. Because that receiving core has never been exceptional. They're just in perfect sync with him. But now, you start taking people out of the equation, especially someone who is as natural a fit for that offense as Josh Gordon, and it really gets dicey.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. All right, remember, you guys want to send in your questions, 786-322-1105. That's 786-322-1105 on the accidentlawfirm.com text line. The other way, if you have any fantasy questions for Andy Behrens, you can also send them in on my Twitter feed at Big O Show. You can DM them, whatever you want to do. That's fine with me if you want to DM them because maybe you're a little embarrassed about what you're doing. Let's see. First one, which tight end should I drop? Jared Cook, Vance McDonald, or O.J. Howard?
Oh, what a painful question. This is like these are three preseason fantasy sleepers. And I was, I was actually all about Jared Cook in the preseason. I was buying the local beat reporters talking about how this is going to be a 1,000-yard season for him. And I feel like, this is like Jared Cook's eighth straight year as a fantasy sleeper, and it hasn't really panned out. I do still have some hopes for him when Drew Brees comes back, and he's actually had a couple games here where he's seen like 6-7 targets. That's good to see. Very gifted player. That's actually, of everybody on this list, that's probably the guy that I'm holding on to, because at this point, I mean, how many more like 2-target games do you need to see for OJ Howard before you just say, okay, it ain't happening this year. They get like within 10 yards of the end zone, they're throwing a Cameron Brate again. Like it's just been a Godwin and Evans offense, and they're throwing to the running backs, and he's just been the forgotten man. And there hasn't been a big week yet. And I'm sure at some point there's going to be a binge week from OJ Howard, but you can't just start him for 8 or 9 weeks, just holding out hope that that's going to happen. So of everybody on this list, the two that I'm most willing to drop are Vance McDonald and O.J. Howard. The quarterback situation in Pittsburgh has just gotten so desperate that there's very little upside at this point for McDonald. He's probably my first drop here, and then it would be Howard, and then it would be Cook. I know a lot of people are dealing with very similar situations.
All right, PPR, Galladay, McLaurin, and Sanu need one for a flex spot. Also, should I sub Thompson from Washington for James Conner this week? Yeah, man, you're going up against that vaunted Dolphins defense. You better put Thompson on the bench, bitch.
I like among the receivers here, I like Galladay just a hair over McLaurin. It's really tough. I mean, it's obviously easy to see McLaurin finding the end zone again. It's really hard to trust the quarterback situation there. That's going to be such a sloppy game. They are promising. Bill Callahan is promising to run the ball all day. And I buy it when he says that he intends to do that, right? Like, he's exactly the coach to do such a thing. And
yes,
they've got a back they can lean on in Peterson. So I really, it's not going to surprise me if Adrian Peterson carries the ball like 24, 25 times.
You mean he doesn't want to be the dumbest team alive by passing the ball with bad quarterbacks? Huh?
Yeah.
For those that remember that line.
Yeah, there's one thing that'll get you fired and make you look like a bad coach, too. It's like leaning on Case Keenum. So I absolutely think that Adrian Peterson is going to see a ton of work in this one. I'm not sure what it leaves for McLaurin. I'm going to start Kenny Galladay there. I'm not gonna sit James Conner for Chris Thompson. I probably draw the line there. I think Thompson is, like, I like the idea. Thompson's a good start this week. James Conner is still a full workload running back, and you got to lean on him.
Okay. 786-322-1105 is the number for the accidentlawfirm.com text line. If you want to chime in and you've got a question for Andy Behrens, if you want to ask him a fantasy football question. The other one that comes in is Todd Gurley dealing with the quad now. How strong do you go with Malcolm Brown now versus the 49ers, who have a pretty decent defense? And here's the other one I want to ask you. This is me now, not the listener. The listener asked you about Malcolm Brown. How about the Henderson kid now? If this Gurley stuff starts to become real, because I truly believe this quad comes from him overcompensating for his knee. But whatever they want to tell me over there in Los Angeles, that's fine. But clearly something's wrong with Todd Gurley, and if he's not himself, and I know Malcolm Brown's been the guy, any shot that Henderson starts to get into this mix, and if he's available, should that be a flyer you take at the bottom of your roster?
Yeah, Henderson is in fact available in most leagues. I feel like most owners went 3 or 4 weeks with him and then cut him loose because he simply wasn't seeing any snaps at all. As you say, Malcolm Brown would be the direct replacement, and there's a non-trivial chance that we don't see Todd Gurley at all this week, that he ends up sitting out. I fully agree with you that any subsequent injury has to be related to whatever's going on with his knee and the overuse perhaps last week. It is a brutal matchup against San Francisco. I mean, everybody just saw him. Like, they have crazy talent at every level of that defense. They are a legit team. It's not an accident that they're undefeated. Like, they're really good. And it shouldn't surprise anyone either if they pull out a win against the Rams here and end up at 5-0. Like, that's just a damn good team and a damn good defense. Malcolm Brown is somebody that I would slot into almost the exact spot where I would have Todd Gurley in my ranks. Like, the way Gurley is running the ball right now, like, Malcolm Brown can do that. So I had Gurley about 15th in my running back ranks. I'm going to slot Malcolm Brown 15 if Gurley can't go. And then there's no question that Darrell Henderson is going to see some work. He has to. Right? It's not going to be all Brown. You got to assume that he's going to see something like 20 snaps, maybe get something like 8-9 touches, which will be some of the first work of his NFL career, right? And he's a talent. He's a real talent. He's a very good player at the collegiate level. Has struggled with a lot of the sort of nuts and bolts basics of picking up like game speed in the NFL, pass blocking in the NFL. So that has certainly kept him off the field, but they're going to have to go to him here. So I think he's an interesting speculative ad. He's not somebody that I would just plug and play, though.
By the way, Marlon Mack has turned into an absolute stud. How about that?
A total stud, and that's a really good offensive line, too.
That's true.
Big part of it.
Yeah, but you know what's impressive? You know what's impressive to add? This is a little more football than fantasy, but when you have Andrew Luck, there's a level of respect from that defense that is going to make you run the ball a little easier. When you put in Jacoby Brissett, that respect automatically goes away, and they're going to focus more on stopping the run and forcing Brissett to beat them. The fact that Marlon Mack and that offensive line have risen above the loss of Andrew Luck, I think, tells you how real that running game is and how real Marlon Mack is, who's gone from, you know, the guy that 2 years ago was a flex guy, last year was a number two back, now he's a number one back.
Yeah, the one hole in Marlon Mack's game to this point is that they're just, and maybe it might not even be a fault of his so much as the usage. They don't throw to him as most teams do to like the true first and second tier running back in fantasy, right? Like, he just doesn't get that pass volume quite yet, but he's a wonderful runner. And it's like another thing, as you were talking, I was thinking it's so sad that like the Colts finally built a great offensive line as Andrew Luck was passing out. You know, Andrew Luck was like, no, I've taken too many beatings, I ain't doing this anymore. And like, this is when they finally have that really gifted offensive line that can protect him. And that offense really could have been something with a healthy Andrew Luck behind it. It's too bad.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, if you allow your guy to just get beaten down like that, that's what happened. You allowed him to get beaten down to the point that he ends up retiring. And, you know, if you're going to draft a one of these kind of cats, well, then protect them, man. Give them, put the wall of Montezuma in front of them, man. And that way.
And that should be a lesson to the Cardinals with Kyler Murray, yes. to the Browns with Baker Mayfield, to
Houston.
All these teams.
Houston?
Yes, absolutely. Oh. Absolutely.
Deshaun Watson is not the kind of man that can take the beating that Cam Newton and Andrew Luck have taken. And Cam, you know, Cam is more into the beating because he's one of those guys that likes to run and deliver the blow. Now he's kind of feeling that after all these years. Luck was not ever that guy. He didn't want to take that. Watson is half the size of those guys. Watson will not last long if they keep allowing him to take all those blows.
Yeah, that's never been a recipe for a long NFL career. It was heroic of Watson to play all those games last year when he had, I forget if it was broken ribs or there was like a week that he couldn't fly, right? Like, right. I don't think I'm making that up. I think he had to take the bus for a week.
Yeah,
they didn't let him on a plane.
Right, lungs. I think he had like a punctured lung or something like that he could not go in the plane, and he had to drive to the game, which is,
that's a tough kid and all, but you can't set up anybody for that. You know, that lasts like 5 or 6 years. And as we're seeing with Cam right now, regardless of the size of the human being, right? Like, you can only take so much of that.
David Johnson is injured. They're asking how serious should they look at Chase Edmonds?
Oh, they should have already added Chase Edmonds. I mean, certainly anybody who owns David Johnson, I'm not even one to handcuff every running back situation around the league. But when we have a running back who is really gifted and would clearly be the full workload guy, if the person ahead of him were to tap out, then I think that guy is worth owning. I mean, I think Chase Edmonds can be 90% of what David Johnson is. And there is Todd Gurley, there's a non-trivial chance that we don't see David Johnson this week. It sounds like he's trending in a positive direction. But even still, the matchup against Atlanta is just so good that if Chase Edmonds is going to get 12 touches, he's basically a must start against the Falcons. That defense has been absolutely wretched.
So who are you starting fantasy wise in Miami versus Washington? Just to have a little fun with you.
We mentioned it. I honestly think Adrian Peterson, like, they might not be pretty carries. You know, Adrian Peterson is averaging less than 3 yards per carry right now. But when Bill Callahan says that he just wants to run the ball endlessly, I totally buy it. I'm not going to be surprised if Adrian Peterson gives us like 25 carries for 79 yards and a touchdown or something like that. I'm also just like, as somebody who plays in a bunch of deep leagues where we can't just ignore the Dolphins, you know, I'm pretty interested to see if this Mark Walton thing holds too, if he is entirely leapfrogged Ballage, and if we're done with Ballage entirely. Like, I'm ready for Mark Walton to maybe get 8 as well.
Yeah, I've been actually campaigning for Mark Walton the last couple of weeks, not because I don't like Ballage or Drake. I like both of them. I know Ballage has been in this incredible funk that nobody really expected him to be in, but Mark Walton has played really well, and every time he touches the ball, he helps them out, and he's gifted where he can run and catch, so he's a multi-purpose back. They've reached a point where they've got to start using Mark Walton more, because he's proven to be more consistent right now than Kalen Ballage.
Yeah, not that I see him as some budding superstar or anything, right. But, you know, every running back situation matters in fantasy, and it sure seems like he could fall into that workload that we'd expected from Ballage.
Yeah, I'm with you there. Question, A.J. Green, are you trying to trade for him now? Because there's some talk, not because he will be really valuable whenever he does come back. I don't think he's coming back this week for the Bengals, but he might get traded. And, I mean, if the Bengals were smart, they would trade him. It's so ridiculous when I see things around the league like this, like A.J. Green, it's like, okay, what are you hanging on to him for at this point? You're a rebuilding franchise is what you should be. It's not like you're competing for anything. There's another guy in another terrible situation that I read this week, and they're thinking about they don't want to trade him. I forgot who it was now. I'm trying to remember who the hell it is.
Well, a lot of the conversation from Cincinnati around A.J. Green has been that they won't trade him.
Right.
And I will say that is what I would say if I were a general manager and I was looking for a huge haul for AJ Green, right? Like, your public posture should actually be, oh, he's untouchable. He's a staple of the franchise. We're not trading. So I would just tell people, don't listen to that noise. Like, that's, you know, it sounds firm, but literally the only time that NFL teams aren't lying to us are when they draft players and when they sign them in free agency, and everything else is a lie. Like, as soon as you accept that, then, like, your understanding of the league really grows. Like, they're lying to us all the time. So I don't believe for a second that AJ Green isn't available. Of course he's available. That the team's miserable, and AJ Green isn't enough to fix it. And they haven't extended him or anything. Like, of course he's available. And the obvious fit is the team that we started out talking about, the New England Patriots, right? Like, AJ Green could fix a lot of things, and it sure sounds like he's getting ready to practice. And we're ahead of the trade deadline here. So, yeah, I think a low ball offer on AJ Green is totally worth it.
There you go. AJ Green would be, I think it would be a pretty interesting move for somebody to make out there. And if he ends up in a great situation like that, oh, man, that would be the bomb. All right, Andy, you remember you can follow him on Twitter at Andy Behrens. What are you working on at Yahoo Sports so folks can check you out?
As always, every Sunday, Fantasy Football Live, 90 minutes before kickoff of the early games. And we also, I'd like people to check out the Yahoo Fantasy Basketball Podcast, which we just launched a couple of weeks ago. It's been really fun so far.
I like it. I like it. And I'll be listening, and maybe we'll do a little fantasy basketball here on the show when the football season ends. Maybe we'll add a little bit of that.
I'm ready.
You got it. All right, Andy, you're the best, brother. Thank you.
Good luck, everybody.
You got it. There you go. Andy Behrens, baby, from Yahoo Fantasy. Every Friday at this time. So you can watch it. You can listen to it. You can send in your questions, many different platforms. We will ask them like we did today. We will continue to do that every single week like we have for many, many years. And maybe I will bring them on also for fantasy basketball. What the hell?